literally the only thing I have to sort of think about is when I share that my brother's the donor, I have to say it in a way where I explain how we went about it and that it's IVF and that it's Ingrid's egg, because otherwise people's minds are like, what the heck?
Oh yeah, the only way you can conceive a kid is the way that people's minds go straight to it. It's like, they must have had sex, obviously. That's so, the only option. Queers, queens, and in-betweens, hello and welcome back to Same Sex, Same Shit. I'm Rochelle, and some weeks I'm joined by my incredible fiancé, Maddie, and other weeks I'm joined by powerhouse queer guests. We love to chat all things lesbian, and each week we'll be sharing that us queers do the same shit as everyone else.
We will indeed. As always, we are going to be bringing you some very important queer conversations every single week.
Welcome back, Mads.
Thank you.
We missed you last week on the intro. Well, I mean, there wasn't even actually an intro because we just completely missed the fact that we had to record an intro for our guest episode. So we're very sorry. That won't happen again.
So I was just too busy being pregnant.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you just... If this microphone wasn't on a stand, that would have been the biggest mic drop. I'm sorry to everyone that I've just screamed in your radios and headphones.
I'm not here to fuck around. I'm not beating around the bush. People need to know this stuff. I'm excited.
Well, woohoo. There you go. The cat is out of the mother freaking bag.
Like, we did state that we did an embryo transfer only a couple of weeks ago, but...
That episode was pre-recorded.
It was pre-recorded.
When we had done an embryo transfer, so don't worry.
So fast forward a few more weeks and we are happily... just outside our first trimester, and we could not be happier. It has been a freaking journey. And look, still hold my breath, but so far so good. Measurements are good. Blood's come back great, and I'm just fist pumping.
Yeah. It's still hard. Like, I know you've been saying through this whole first trimester that it is still – you're still on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, even though I've had some very – shitty symptoms, which is great. Any symptoms are good symptoms, so that's been reassuring. But I felt like absolute, like a sack of potatoes. Like, I was dizzy, I had like vertigo to like you wouldn't believe. I just felt like I've been on a boat for days and was trying not to throw up, and that was solid for like from week 5 to 10. So that was not fun. But what is fun is getting out the other side and being told everything is looking great. And yeah,
you've even got a little bump.
I've got a bump, man. They say you do pop second one. I'm size I was at the end of second trimester. This time I'm huge.
Oh, I'm just so freaking happy. Like, I'm so happy that the cat's out of the bag now, and I'm sure every single person can understand why we've kept this under wraps, like, to ourselves. We were obviously very open and transparent sharing our IVF journey since mid-year last year.
Even now I'm still nervous to like even share it, because I'm just still just so used to bad news that I'm just still like going, oh, I'm waiting for some sort of stupid phone call or some stupid outcome. It's just like very small, very 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 small chances, but you know your mind and how it can get away on you. So, but we're sharing it. These are going to be live updates now, and we'll keep you on track with this, and it's going to be a fun journey. So,
yeah, I think we got to the point where, you know, we were documenting our entire journey, and I know that it has helped so many people, and it was really, really nice to know that us sharing our highs and lows of our IVF journey was making other people going through it feel less alone. That is the whole reason that we did it. But it did get to a point where, not that we didn't want to share it, we would have loved to just share it every single day, but it got to a point where we had to protect ourselves, and we just genuinely didn't feel like it. No. We didn't want to pull out our cameras and phones, because we're like, fuck, every time we just get bad news, and it just wasn't exciting. We wanted to process it, go through all of the emotions ourselves. So yeah, that's kind of why we've held back this time. And maybe it was the universe saying,
stop and take a breath with each other.
Stop and take a breath. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad we did. We did. We did more connecting and had some deeper chats and bonded over a time that got really tough. So that one was under wraps and under our roof, and we have those little memories to hold close together. So,
but woohoo! Yee! We're pregnant, everyone! So grateful. We're so grateful that this is our time. And I know you've been feeling like dog shit. And I don't know, we don't know, you know, obviously every pregnancy is different. You are carrying your embryo this time, as we spoke about in the first episode. Last time you carried my embryo. We're using the same donor. But yeah, who knows why you're feeling like a sack of shit. But I'm glad that you're coming out the other side.
Thank goodness for that, because I did not know my name for a hot minute there. But who knows, maybe my genetics and the donor's genetics are just here to cause havoc but create a beautiful human. So look, I'll take any symptom it gives me.
Well, we will get into this week's episode. I hope you're all screaming on the other end with us, because we are so grateful. We are so happy. We cannot thank the stars aligning enough. This week, though, we are talking about a very exciting IVF journey. Mads didn't join us for this chat, but I interviewed a legend named Kayla. Her and her wife have gone through IVF, have some beautiful kids, and they have a really cool aspect of their IVF journey. They went through using a known donor, which is something that Mads and I have really not a whole lot of idea about the process. We did toy with the idea at the start of our IVF journey, but we ended up going with an anonymous donor. But yeah, Kayla and her beautiful wife used a known donor. They have some wicked insight on why they chose that, how the process went down. And for anyone who's looking into that option for their IVF journey, or for anyone who just wants to know more about it, because it is really interesting. And not just any known donor, you'll learn more about it in the episode. This one's going to be an absolute gem for you. So we really, really hope that you enjoy this really wicked IVF story. Kayla, you and your wife went through IVF and you have three beautiful little ones. Your wife carried all three of her own eggs. And I know every journey is completely different, but your journey in particular has a very interesting factor. And I really want to talk about it today. So thank you so much for coming on, being so open about it. You mentioned to me that when you were searching online for information around this topic or others that had been through this particular journey, that you couldn't really find any information or anything about it. And I agree that I think it should be spoken about more. And so that's exactly what we're going to do today. So we went through the process of using a known donor, not just any known donor, it was your brother. So let's go back to the start. Talk about the discussions around choosing a donor with you and your wife.
Yeah. Okay. What a fun time. I don't remember this being a fun time. I think it was a frustrating time. Largely the donor question. There's so many decisions you have to make, hey, going into this, and you try and be so intentional. And sometimes I think you start out with an idea. I think almost everyone ends up with different choices than what they sort of thought they would at the start once you get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yes.
But for us, thinking it through and considering all our options, we ended up going with sibling donation. My brother is our donor for all three kids, and it's been the best choice for us. Still super happy with it. Ingrid and I consider it a bit of a lesbian hack in creating families.
I love that. Yeah. And so did you ever consider using an anonymous donor initially?
Yes. Yeah, so that's where we started. And I think most people start there as well, thinking, yeah, we're going to go through the clinic.
That's the only option, right?
Yeah, that's how it works, right? Yeah. And I think that's when people meet our family. I think that's their assumption as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at that. We didn't delve too far into it. We didn't sort of sign up for any clinics or go through any of that process. So I can't speak to that. But I liked that idea because I think I liked, of the de-identified kind of clinic donor, I liked the idea of that kind of geographical and just the separation between the donor and the family that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the idea of not having another face, like of a known donor that, you know, friends or family might be able to look at and, you know, in their own minds be like, oh, that's the donor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so
it looks nothing like you. It must look like the donor.
Yes. Yeah. And like then know who that donor is and be interested in that way. And so I was actually like fiercely for the like going the clinic route and the de-identified or unknown donor route. And then sat on it for a bit longer and thought, okay, known donor might be all right, because, you know, positive to that is there's sort of just no mystery, no question mark. You know, the child, like when they grow up and may have questions, will have the answers straight away. You know, mm-hmm. there won't be sort of a wait until you can get that information. And so we actually did approach actually, I was a bit of a wuss. I got my friend to ask someone. a guy I sort of know, an ex-colleague who lives in the States,
mm-hmm.
Very beautiful gay man, very athletic, very smart, like perfect. A-plus donor. A-plus donor. I'm sure he's been asked plenty of times.
Yeah.
And our mutual friend, she was like, I'll ask him. I was like, great, suss it out. And he came back with a respectful, no, thanks. I don't think my partner and I are ready for that. Like mm-hmm. totally flattered, but no. And I was like, thank you. Like, thanks for giving your honest answer.
Yeah.
That's great. But it's funny to think back and be like, we actually almost went down that path, which yeah. would have been great too. We had discussions as well with another friend who's we considered as a known donor. His wife had actually, I think, first brought it up as like, if you guys would want to, like, we'd be open to that to help you guys out. They're both doctors as well. We really liked that, not just because they're intelligent, but because we knew they'd understand it from like a clinical perspective and a donation perspective rather than kind of this emotional ground that can get a bit muddy.
Yeah. That's so interesting because we also have some friends, a straight couple who's
mm-hmm.
they're both our friends, but the wife approached us as well, saying, hey, we've spoken about it. I'm offering up my husband as yes. your donor kind of thing. So yes. that is crazy that someone else has gone yeah. through that experience as people. Well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is lovely because it's like, yeah, you want her to, you know, you want the partner to be on board.
To be on board, of course. You know. Yeah.
And so we got together with them. We had a bit of a joke. We called it a gamete when we met up for all that. The nerds out there. and we discussed things and we started to formulate a bit of a plan. And then he had discussed it with his father and his father sort of just asked some questions, had some concerns, had some like double check this and that. And when he came back to me and told me that, I don't think it was going to sway him at all, but I just learned that the dad, you know, his dad had some opinions.
Mm.
I was like, I don't care for that. Like, yeah. I don't care for another person.
And then that's kind of in involved. Your life as well.
Yeah.
Those thinking, opinions.
Yeah, a yeah. little. And it's like, it's reasonable that he has questions and concerns, but I just thought, no, I don't want the extra people yeah. involved that I don't really know. But we liked the idea at that time of a known donor. And then Ingrid was like, how about your brother? And I think she'd brought this up early on and I was like, no way, too close. Like, I don't have any examples of that, right?
Yeah.
And like, I want this child to feel mine and everyone to be like, you're the mum and it's yours. And mm-hmm. so I was so staunchly like, I don't want this very close face being identifiable as the donor. But yeah, I think after we'd gone through the like, oh, there's pros and there's cons to these other options. And then it was like, how about your brother? And I was like, you know what, now that we're back here again,
yeah,
this actually feels really good. There's no extra people with opinions. Everyone is just my family, like the biological grandparents,
mm-hmm.
The grandparent, like it just all ties in.
You know
in.
So much medical history.
Yes, yeah. Well, when, yeah, it's actually kind of cool when the pediatricians and stuff have asked us about our family medical history and then they look at me and they're like, oh, hang on, two mums, like,
yeah,
are they going to know the medical history or not? And I'm like,
how do I approach
can give you
this?
It. Yeah, 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 like... It's again, it's like a nice hack.
And so did you guys know anyone with a sibling donor, like any queer family with a sibling donor, or do you know where Ingo got this idea from or had you heard of it before?
No, I don't. We had no examples in our own lives and I struggled. This is 3 years ago now, 3-4 years ago. I struggled to find any examples online.
Mm-hmm.
So we just approached it through the idea of like, I would take my sister's egg. I would give my sister an egg. It's the same thing.
And so what did the discussions look like with your brother then
around that? Again, my brother felt like a good choice because I knew he'd just get it and I knew he'd be honest with me and I knew he wouldn't be weird about it.
That's so
cool.
I
knew he wouldn't overstep the mark. And I think what felt so handy about it and what has proved to be so handy is that he was always going to be an uncle to our kids. So he has that role.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need to like discuss how much involvement, how much... you know, that you're going to have, it was just, you're an uncle and you're going to behave like an uncle does.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how it's worked. So, And my brother also, it's almost like, sometimes I'm like, dude, are you a lesbian? Like, I don't have to explain anything to you. You just get it. He's the first person I came out to because I knew he'd just get it. He's just non-judgmental. He's never said anything awkward or wrong or he's just on board. So if you have a brother like my brother, it's a good pick. Obviously everyone's situation is different.
Yeah, I feel like I can totally resonate with that to a degree. My brother's 5 years younger than me and he lives 8 hours away. We are still close, but not as close as, you know, if we lived near each other. But he was also the first person that I came out to in my family. And I totally understand what you mean when you say they just get it. Like, just their personality, you just felt comfortable. They were just like, yeah, cool. Like, so fine. Nothing phases them. Yeah. So I totally get that. How did he respond to you kind of talking to him about that conversation?
Absolutely. Sorry, I'm doing a great job at not answering your questions. It's
fine. I think we'll come back. It's fine. I love it. I'll bring you back.
So my brother once, we decided we'd ask him. We texted him. It was
brilliant.
And it was intentional because I thought he's such a nice guy that I thought if I do it face to face, he might give the answer that pleases me rather than what's best for him.
Okay.
And so I was like, I'll give him space in the text. It was, you know, discuss this with your wife and make sure you're 100% cool with it.
Mm.
Otherwise, just tell me no. Like, yeah. Don't want you doing this for me. Like, it's got to work for everyone.
Yeah.
We'd really love if you were the donor and you consider it, but no rush, no obligation. Make sure you're cool with it on all these different fronts and then get back to us. And I think he texts back like an hour or two later and was like, yeah, we're cool with it. We'd be happy to help. And I was like, yeah.
Thumbs up.
It makes so much sense. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. So yeah, we approached him by text and that was just to give him space and let them mull over it and explain the points we wanted to explain. So in that, I think it was like, you're an uncle. I think we also said it wouldn't be a secret as well. We'd always be very public about the fact that you're the donor, particularly to the people we know. I don't tell every stranger on the street.
But, not worth it.
Yeah. So like my mantra was like silence implies shame and there's no shame in what we're doing. And so I told my family that from the start and I told my brother that from the start. It's been really good because then they know that they can share that. And my mum loves telling people that my brother's the donor.
Keeping it in the family.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you guys obviously had to have a discussion between you and Ingrid and set some boundaries. And so you said, you know, you're already an uncle figure. We're not having any shame or disclosure around it.
Yeah.
Did he have any specific boundaries or, you know, any concerns that he raised that he wanted to talk through?
No, not at all. I don't remember. Like, again, I think he just got it. We sat down and wrote like I guess what would mimic like a legal contract type thing to really reiterate that we were the parent, just to have something written that was there. But people are often interested in knowing whether he had kids at the time and they hadn't had kids of their own.
Okay.
I think they were trying as well. So they were potentially looking down the road of not having kids at all. And they were still just like, yeah, happy to help.
Let's do it. That's amazing.
And he now does have kids, which is really cool. He has a son.
Very cool. Because I know that when we were looking down the known donor path and our friend's wife approached us and we ended up looking down that path and I had some really deep chats with my friend and he was a work friend. Maddie only knew them through association through me. And he was kind of like, yep, cool, sounds good. We were going to we went through contracts and stuff like that. And then he kind of must have thought about it and he came back to me one day and he said, look, I have just kind of made the decision that I'm happy to be the donor for one, like we'll go through and have one kid. He's like, but I can't promise any more after that. Oh, he's like, I just,
good to know, I guess.
Yeah. He was like, I want to say yes, absolutely. Like go through and have 2, 3, like whatever you want to build your family. But he said, already I'm finding myself getting emotionally attached to the idea and I'm really worried about my mental health if I was to get too emotionally attached to the first one. And then I I say, yes, okay, let's do 2, 3. And he has 3 kids of his own, had 2 at the time. And I had obviously just said to Maddie, like, that's not on for us in the sense of like, it was always a non-negotiable that we had the same donor for the kids, whether that's known or de-identified. And so that ruled him out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really nice that he was upfront and honest
certainly
with us about that because I would hate to go through that process and then after the first one him be like, oh no, I can't do this anymore. I was like, I don't want my family lying in the hands of someone else's decisions. So yeah, it's good that your brother, I mean, I suppose it's a little bit different with family as well, rather than just, you know, a good friend. How is your family about this? How did you approach them? You sound like you're a pretty open family anyway.
Yeah, I can't remember how this went. My brother and his wife agreed. And then once we got the ball rolling, we just said to my family, yeah, this is, we're going to try and get pregnant. this is who the donor will be, and this is how we're doing it through the clinic, and that's just the way that it is. I think we were kind of like, we don't want any opinions. But also it was like overwhelmingly positive, the feedback from my family and friends. And I'd say 95% of people who I say that my brother was able to help us, like, it's a really positive. Some people just cry. They're like, that is so beautiful. It's always people's first example.
Yeah.
Like, I've never realized you could do that. Like, how awesome. Oh, how perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk me through the process. What does that look like? Yeah. Because I only know the route of using a de-identified donor through the sperm bank and the clinic.
Yeah.
So what does it look like for your brother and then for you guys as a whole with the clinic?
Obviously there's heaps of ways you can do it. We decided to keep it very clinical. We wanted IVF. We wanted everything to be done through the clinic. So I think he needed to do some blood tests just to check for like bloodborne diseases and that sort of thing to make sure the donation would be safe to use. Mm-hmm. Oh, they also suggested, would it have been chromosomal testing, the kind of genetic testing you can get to make sure that you're not going to come up with a rare disease in the child, right?
Yep, like genetic, if you're both testing. Carriers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think we were like, well, I'm not sure we put him through that because we know my family history, obviously.
Yeah.
Ingrid just got tested. So she's like, well, if I don't carry it, then I don't, I don't carry any concerning things, then whatever, it's not too.
You both won't be, carriers, definitely.
And then they still wanted to quarantine the sample for 3 months and then do another blood test on him just to make sure like he hadn't had like an STI at the time he donated that was dormant and not showing up.
Sure.
So I guess it's similar to like the testing that would happen on sperm given through a clinic. But so I think we almost waited the 3 months and then we're like, we know my brother, he hasn't got an,
he's fine.
He hasn't been going anywhere in the last 3 months.
And then so they do the donation and then they use that sperm that they kept dormant.
Yes.
Kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just do the testing in the background.
That's right.
Wait the few months. And then
it's just frozen and then it's used. So
yeah.
Yeah, so what's cool about that is there's the separation of space and also time between, the donation and then turning it into embryos and then implantation or transfer. What's also cool is we only needed to ask that of my brother once and then we've been able to make 3 kids just from that one visit to the clinic for him.
That is,
I mean, obviously if amazing. We needed, it's sort of very handy to have a donor you can call upon again, but we haven't had to. And then got other embryos as well, so it went a long way.
Perfect. Thanks, bro. And so what does the costs involved look like with that? Because holy shit, international unknown donor sperm is fucking expensive. Yeah. We were paying like $1,200-$1,300 per vial, and if you don't make the embryos or it doesn't work, you've got to get a whole nother vial. You can only have 4 vials at a time, and then the donor might stop donating. Yeah. And there's all these other
things around
it.
Yeah.
But I know that Australian donors are cheaper through our clinic. They were like less than half the price compared to an international donor. But what does that look like for a known donor?
Those costs are essentially not there.
Yeah.
And the stress of not being able to access the same donor is not there.
Yes.
Largely. So that's great.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Essentially we're paying cryo costs for our embryos. Also, one thing to note for anyone that's interested in doing this route is, so when my brother donated and it was, and like sperm was frozen, he still legally owned that. So if he decided in that 3 month quarantine time or whatever that he was not for it, he could have like just, gone up, get rid of that clinic. But once it was used to make embryos, then the embryos belong to Ingrid and I.
Yes.
And he has no say in that.
Yeah.
He'd already signed up for that. So essentially there's just cryo costs, the frozen costs and storage.
Yep.
And we covered his testing costs and we made sure he wasn't out of pocket.
Of course.
Essentially that's just a few blood tests and whatever tests he went through at that time.
Amazing. So it's
negligible compared to
the $12,000 we've spent on sperm.
Yes. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
$12,000. Yeah, like, there you go. It's so hard.
Yeah. Mm. And so in that sense, because a non-negotiable for us was having the same donor for all the kids, And we didn't know if the donor was going to keep donating or stop donating.
Mm-hmm.
We bought the max amount of vials. So we'd buy four. So that's like $5,000 in one go. You use one, you buy another one, another $1,200 because you can only have four at a time.
Right.
And then at the end, if you don't use them, I think you can return them.
Okay.
And get a little bit of your money back. Okay. People say that's like up to the clinic's discretion.
Yeah.
But then those vials can only go to other families who have already used that donor. It can't go to a new family because there's caps on how many families a donor can have, an unknown donor. So I definitely think that is one huge advantage of having a known donor if they're on board with that. Mm. And so what does the legal side of that look like? Because I know when we were looking through using a known donor, we kind of would have had to seek our own legal advice, and it obviously wasn't a sibling donor. It was, you know, they had their own family and their own kind of life and their own everything, and they were just friends. And so we seeked our own legal advice, and we're going to have to do up contracts that way for financial reasons and things like that. So what does that look like with a known sibling donor?
I think that's part of why we chose the clinic route.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no, like, if we obviously with a known donor, you can try some at home stuff. There's a myriad of reasons I didn't want to do that given my brother, but also just legally it felt like it just felt more secure because the story is literally documented that this was a donation, and then the legal rights transfer once it's embryo and going on. So yeah, I think it's pretty, in Queensland and Australia, it's pretty airtight with that stuff.
And did you find that the clinic was pretty on board with it, or, you know, kind of knew how to go about the process because it is essentially just like a donation,
making. Yeah, they didn't skip a beat like that. Yeah, it made sense. I don't know how many other examples that they had with like same-sex female couples, but I think, yeah, just known donors is, yeah, they're pretty experienced with that.
Yeah. Have you and Ingrid ever spoken about going down the path of you carrying with Ingrid's egg?
Yeah, like reciprocal IV. We have, I think at this point, I don't know if Ingrid spoke on this, so this would be interesting.
You've obviously got three. So, yes, I mean, prior to the three chaos that your life has at the moment.
Yeah.
Is that something that, you know, you discussed or how did you feel about that?
Yeah, I think there's a number of reasons Ingrid ended up carrying all the kids. Some of them were just work and where we're at in our careers. It was one of them. Also just... no real desire to carry a pregnancy. I was always going to stand in as backup uterus should need be, but I really can't see myself as a pregnant person.
I think we are A+ backup uteruses, and I. I am on the same page. I'll report for duty if
needed.
Yeah, I am a great support person.
Yeah.
I'll keep that role and I enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're very lucky that we have that. Hey, I definitely think there's so many women that I know that carry pregnancies that, you know, are married to a man or whatever, and they're like, wow, the option of not having to do this. Like,
yeah, I think the universe is really on our side being like, you don't want to be pregnant? Okay, you can be a lesbian
because
you can still have kids, but you don't have to do it. How great. Yeah. And so you mentioned before your brother is the uncle figure.
Yes.
Was he involved in Ingrid's pregnancy?
No, not any more than an uncle would be. Oh, and I was going to say on the point before of like, your potential known donor being a bit iffy about emotional attachment, it might have been handy, easier for a known donor who is a sibling to get past that point because they are going to have an emotional relationship with the child. They're an uncle. It's going to be their niece, nephew. So there's that enduring relationship they get to enjoy anyway. It just has definite like boundaries. But we probably updated him the same we would have if we'd used any donor. And it's kind of been like that since like my sisters are probably more involved with my kids than he is just because
females.
Yeah.
I would love to know, to kind of wrap it up, how your process was mentally going through it. Were there any ever kind of thoughts that arose, or did you ever kind of second guess what you were doing, or were you always happier on board? Did you have any mental kind of battles to work through? It must be so special being able to be genetically related to your kids as well as Ingrid. Like, I just think that is the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah.
That's the hack.
Yeah. You've really got the code. You've really broken the code.
Yeah.
So, yeah, did you have anything you had to work through?
No, mentally? I think once you know, initially as we were deciding the donor options, but once we landed back on my brother and he was on board, there's just been no doubt and no regret. And it is really cool picking up my kids and seeing, like, my daughter is a clone of my wife, but when she smiles, like, her eyes are like mine and my brother's, you know. Yeah. And the boys, because they're fairer skinned, when I pick them up and, like, look in the mirror, I'm like, oh my God, a child that looks like me. Like, I was not expecting this. What a bonus. Like, yeah, that is just so wild, and looks like my wife. Like, it's just the coolest thing. So, no, we've been super happy with it. Literally the only thing I have to sort of think about is when I share that my brother's the donor, I have to say it in a way where I explain how we went about it and that it's IVF and that it's Ingrid's egg, because otherwise people's minds are like, what the heck?
Oh yeah, the only way you can conceive a kid is the way that people's minds go straight to it. It's like, they must have had sex, obviously. Yeah, yeah. That's so, the only option.
Yeah, so I'm just, I have to, the language you use when you explain that to people is like the only part where I have to like think about what I'm saying or doing, but otherwise the whole thing's been seamless. And yeah, we've loved it.
I think that is so special, because I know going through, when Maddie and I were discussing going through IVF, initially Maddie was going to carry with her own egg, and, you know, when we get married, we're taking her surname. Mm. So the kids were all going to have her surnames, like, prior to us getting married and whatnot. And I felt very disconnected from the whole process. I was like, oh God, I just feel like a little bit of garnish over here. Like, I felt so disconnected, not involved really at all. Until we made the decision to go through reciprocal IVF, and then obviously my embryo is involved. And then so now going through our second IVF journey, mm-hmm. Maddie has had a couple of miscarriages with her own embryo. Mm. And a few kind of doubts have come up with her being like, am I ever going to have a kid that is genetically related to me? Because my embryos keep failing. And the obstetrician was kind of like, oh, well, you know that Rochelle's embryo works, so why don't, you know, have you thought about maybe just using Rochelle's again?
Yeah.
And so I really love that your story is you and Ingrid both get to be genetically related. Like, there's no even doubt about, oh, well, do you want a kid that's genetically related, like, to you?
Yeah, let's have a crack with you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good way around
which
that.
Which is a really cool way around that. So thank you so much for sharing. I think as you said, when you were going through the process of looking for any information around a known sibling donor, there was nothing out there. Mm. And so I'm so honored to be able to talk to you about your story and put that out there, because I think it will help so many people just to even know that this is an option.
Yep.
And how amazing that journey can look for someone. Like, it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be legal and foreign and a mental roller coaster. It can just be beautiful and easy and positive like yours.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for giving it a platform.
Thank you all so much for listening today. If you'd like to connect with us and stay up to date with our day-to-day life as well as future episodes, you can do so on our socials at @those.2mums. We absolutely love bringing you these conversations each week, so if you love it too, please subscribe and leave us a review. Chat to you all next week. Bye.